Saturday, July 5th, and you're listening to Above Ground Testing, the podcast.
Simply did not see
his world as England only in the Empire. He saw the world as it was. He could attract the best of the society he lived in. He could attract the fringe. In fact, some of his early followers were the most eccentric individuals you'll ever meet. He was brash and domineering. He was autocratic, but was flexible. He could allow individualism. He might have been, this is going to be cool, he might have been the grandfather of all mashers, because he took the music of his day, encouraged his followers to take the music of the day, and take those words out and put in religious themes. So he mashed up. His followers were the early mashers. They would take a song from here, and they take these words, stick them together. Isn't that mashup? He was conservative in his theology, but radical in his interpretation. He wrote very much of stuff that would be considered very strongly fundamentalist, and at the same time, he could feel comfortable declaring the social gospel. If you know nothing about William Booth, why don't you read his an article found on Wikipedia? Good source, by the way. Very excellent article. I've said enough for now. Why don't we simply listen to the song, shall we? Gospel reached everybody. so he wanted a serious meeting that would help people meet their Savior, and he wanted people as well to be taught and to understand that salvation was boundless, it was for everybody. The theme was November 1893, and let me give you a quote about the history. Commissioner Theodore Kitching, whose son would later become a general, was the founder's aide at this time. He had been at headquarters all night working on the last-minute arrangement for the Congress. At 6 o'clock in the morning, he went around to the founder's house at Hadley Wood. He knew that Booth was a very early riser, and he wanted to report to the founder on the work that had been accomplished during the night. He saw the founder, sleepless, pacing the floor in his dressing gown, hair all awry, greatly agitated. The founder said, "Kitching, I've been praying all night. I've been agonizing for these great meetings at Exeter Hall. God has helped me to put it down in words to express my feeling." And he handed to Kitching a sheaf of papers, on which there were the pages of scattered notes. Kitching deciphered his notes. The song was reproduced. A suitable melody was found, and now they sang it out. "Exeter Hall, oh, boundless salvation, deep oceans of love." According to the war cry of that day, during the singing of the general's new song, 358 plunged into the vast ocean of fathomless love. That's a good start for a song. 358 converts, the first time it was sung. By the way, that which I did read was a quote from the book of Boundless Salvation by the late John D. Waldron, who was the leader of the Salvation Army in Canada, the leader for a time. He wrote a little book that was based upon his research into the history, and looked at all the stanzas and used it as his thoughts of devotion tied to his scripture for the song. It's an amazing little book, and well worth the time to find. So the Salvation Army has its song, called the Anthem of the Army, and I'm sure just like many churches have anthems. And I was just as the Lutherans would have Martin Luther's old "Mighty Fortress Is Our God," as the Methodists would have "I Took Anything" by John Charles Wesley. This was the Army song. It's hard to imagine a major Army function that does not end with the singing of the song. In fact, we're going to be listening to it singing of it. It's been sung in some very interesting places, and let me give you another bit of history. The Chalk Farm Band, one of the United Kingdom Salvation Army's premier bands, was doing a tour in Italy, and found itself, of course, in Rome, and left as commander of that area. This is 1967, to give you the perspective. Said that the band had received permission to play for the Pope. Pope at this time was John XXIII. And this was an unheard of privilege. And the bandmaster's time says, "Man, I better get some." I'm sure he didn't say, "Man, I better." "I have to contact headquarters and get further guides on this." They called the international headquarters and talked to a man who actually got hold of the general, a man by the name of General Frederick Peace. And said, "I've been invited to play, the band's been invited to play before the Pope. What should we do?" And the general said, "Make it as armed as possible. And also, sing O Boundless Salvation as your last song." So they're invited into the Vatican. Band set up, the Pope sat upon the papal throne. And together, they share the song of Boundless Salvation. Now remember, this is 1967. The church, the Roman Catholic Church, would begin to open up. Protestants were beginning to reach out. And this song transcended the vision that had been there for years. Another story. I think you'll like this. Salvationist businessman had some business in Russia, so he went there. And again, let me respect if it was the days of the Cold War. You know, when communism was entrenched, and it wasn't Russia, but the Soviet Union. The city he was visiting and seeking business had two churches. One was Orthodox, and the other was a Baptist. Now, the Protestant wasn't sure he'd feel comfortable with the Orthodox church, but he'd feel right home with the Baptist. He was from Russia. He could gain understanding. So he went there. The place was packed. Just jam-packed with people. The chairs were all full. The walls were filled with people, pressing against each other. The place was filled. Partway through the service, he started to sing. Something about the song or the melody, and again, the businessman knew very, very, very little Russian, sounded familiar to him. So he nudged the person next to him and, you know, tried to communicate. He got through, and yeah, what is the song? salvation. It's boundless. It's the size and dimensions of salvation. Then the businessman remembered that one of the early pioneers of the army was a man by the name of George Scott Railton. He established the army of Russia. Actually, the army, the Soviet army, flourished in Russia until the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. Declared illegal because it was viewed as foreign, tossed out. What army was there, went underground, joined with other churches. And yet the army, even though it had been basically wiped out for 50-some years, continued to exist. The pages of Baptist Hymn, by the way, the army's back in Russia, they can sing a song with it. That's some of the history. It is a song that has survived the test of time. It speaks of the need of people and the extent of the depth of salvation. The song, Salvation, Boundless, and yet at the same time, the writer, William Burroughs, is smart enough to say, it's bounded at the same time, not by God, but by us. And that's a lot of the theme of stanzas. If you listen closely, you saw that even though God's love is boundless, but salvation is boundless, yet the walk through salvation in the song. You want to know more information? May I suggest you contact your local Salvation Army to say, hey, I heard about the song about salvation. Just curious a bit, a little bit more about it. Of course, you can do the Google thing and find out about it, but it's worth learning. It's worth reading. If you want to know the book that I've mentioned, I'm going to have its title in the show notes as well as some contact. To be honest, I don't know if it's print or not, but it might be worth the hunt. Before I close, got some news for you. First of all, July, believe it or not, is the 10th anniversary of the E-Zine above ground testing. Since 1998, it has been a fixture. Also, the second issue of Avant-Garde Times has been published. The next issue, by the way, is due for September. If you want more information, please go to www.avantgardetimes or email, or the email address is avantgardetimes@gmail.com. I enjoy reading your email. Please send me some. I always will respond. If you have a favorite hymn, and, you know, I've been talking about the Salvation Army Savior, you may say, well, you know, my denomination or in my church, this is our favorite hymn. Why don't you let me know about it? If you will say, hey, I want you to talk about it. Here's some notes. Let me know. Be glad to do it. Thank you, and I want to say thank you to Podomatic for providing space for this podcast. So that's it for the podcast. I'll see you again when I'm behind the mic. And why don't we leave with the singing of O Boundless Salvation, not by me. I will not force anybody to experience that. By one of the singers of the Salvation Army. So in about 10 seconds, we shall have it. Thank you for listening. The information is in the notes. Please contact me.